You are permitted to record this press call. This press call may be recorded. You may receive the notification when you signed in saying you may not, but you may. This is on the record. This call may be recorded. And also to our panelists, while you're not speaking, could you please mute your microphone to prevent any background or any feedback? That would be ideal. Thank you. All righty, we'll go ahead and begin. All right. I'll go ahead and hit the record button. And Chairman and Senator, could you please mute your microphones when you're not speaking? We are getting some feedback issues that is interrupting some of the audio. So there we go. That should hopefully resolve it. Okay. All right. Well, then, let me just go ahead and hit the record button.
Recording in progress.
In 3, 2. Good morning, everyone, and happy Wednesday to you all. Welcome to today's press call hosted by the Republican Party of Wisconsin. I'm Matt Fisher, Communications Director for the Republican Party of Wisconsin. And joining us today are U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, Congressman Tom Tiffany, and Chairman of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, Brian Schimming. I'd like to thank you all for joining us on this morning's press call to discuss the abysmal record and extreme agenda of Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, and why voters deserve better than 4 more years of failure. We look forward to taking a few questions as time allows at the end. As a reminder, everything on this call today is on the record and may be recorded. Again, everything is on the record and may be recorded. Now, I'll turn the call over to Senator Ron Johnson. Senator, be sure to unmute your microphone, and thank you for joining us today.
Hello, Matt, and thank everybody for being on this call. I think my reaction to Vice President Harris naming Governor Tim Walz as her VP running mate, it was just an in-your-face selection. This is a tag team now that is probably the most radical left nominees for president and vice president in U.S. history. They're pretty well counting on the mainstream media, by the way, covering up their radical leftist agenda. But I think most Americans are suffering under those policies, under that ideology, and hopefully they won't be able to get away with the subterfuge. When you take a look at what the Biden administration, what his radical left policies have done to ordinary Wisconsinites, ordinary Americans, it's literally astounding. The fact that President Biden and Vice President Harris as border czar, and let's face it, the mainstream media crowned her border czar before now, they're saying she really wasn't the border czar. That open border has flooded America with millions of illegal immigrants. We don't know who these people are. It's obviously concerned people like FBI Director Wray. All the alarms are flashing in terms of international terrorism. It's a clear and present danger to this nation. It's also going to cost us hundreds of billions of dollars. I saw one estimate in a news article, more than $400 billion since this border has been opened up. We will be feeling the repercussions of their open border policy for years, if not decades to come, in terms of human trafficking, sex trafficking, drug trafficking. They've allowed members of some of those brutal gangs in Central and South America into this country. That's the type of crime, the migrant crime that we're starting to see as well. So again, the open border policy is a catastrophe. It's a clear and present danger to this nation. The massive deficit spending to support their radical left agenda, that's what sparked four-year high inflation. That's why a dollar you held at the start of the Biden administration is now only worth 83 cents. That's why people can't afford things. That damage has been done. So even though inflation rates are down, the damage of their massive deficit spending has already been done. And then throw on top of that, the fact that they are engaged in this war on fossil fuel. So we're not using our God-given energy resources to the extent we should. We are artificially driving up the cost of power, and you need power to have a strong economy to create good-paying jobs. That also is tying into the fact that people can't afford things. Across the board, every policy that the Biden-Harris administration have implemented, have imposed on Americans and Wisconsinites, have weakened this country. And when Americans are weak, the world's a more dangerous place. Our adversaries notice that. And so that's why you have Vladimir Putin taking advantage of the situation and invading Ukraine, why you have Iran boldly sponsoring Hezbollah, the Houthis, and Hamas, and you know, allowing the butchering of those Israeli citizens on October 7th. Again, the world is in flames because of the weakness of this administration. And you know, if there's a seminal event, it was the embarrassing and dangerous surrender in Afghanistan, which signaled to the world that America is in retreat and it's their time to move. So across the board, Democrat policies are destroying this country. They put us on a path of destruction. And I just hope the American people can see past the filter, the censorship, the bias of the mainstream media to take a look at what the radical left agenda of Vice President Harris and Governor Tim Walz would mean in terms of continuation of these destructive policies. So again, I'm happy to answer any questions, but I'll turn it back over to Matt.
Thank you, Senator Johnson. I appreciate it. Just for the sake of feedback, if you could mute your mic, just so we can guarantee there's no issues there. I appreciate it again. Congressman Tiffany, thank you again for joining us this morning. The floor is yours, or I should say the car is yours. I appreciate you joining us. It's great to have you on today.
Yeah, it's really good. Really good to get you all here today. And Vice President Harris, first consequential as her president, she made a decision to Tim Walz, a great decision for us Republicans, because she probably lost Wisconsin. When you think about Western Wisconsin, they're in the media market. I grew up, we knew more in St. Paul than we did in Milwaukee. Those people in the destruction that has gone to Minnesota under Tim Walz's watch. So think about it. My district is all the way to Hudson. Suburb of the cities. The people in Hudson, Minneapolis, were 4 years St. Croix County deputy killed by the weak policies when someone let out early from the Twin Cities as a result of crime policy in cities. We have a sheriff deputy that's not dead in St. Croix County. Then thirdly, I hope you study eating our future debacle not in Minnesota under Governor Walz's watch, over $250 million fraudulent in the taxpayers of Minnesota and that's Tim Walz. Senator Johnson exactly correct. Vice President Harris doubling down on crazy, doubling down on the progressive agenda he's seen ruin cities. San Francisco, which is where this comes from, Tim Walz, where they've destroyed those beautiful cities here in America. They're doubling down on crazy, and we are going to hit Wisconsin as a result. Especially Wisconsin just gained a whole lot with the decision that Kamala Harris for her vice nominee. I turn it back.
Thank you, Congressman. And next up, Chairman Brian Schimming, thank you for joining us this morning. The floor is yours.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. And thanks, Senator Johnson and Congressman Tiffany. Look, a couple of different things here and pick up on what the Congressman said. For those of you who are familiar with Western Wisconsin, River Falls, Hudson, north all the way up Burnett County, a lot of the way over to Menominee, folks that live in that area watched the fires burn in Minneapolis, fires that Tim Walz decided to wait 3 days to do something to put out by not calling out the National Guard. If you were sitting in your house and your house was on fire, you wouldn't wait 3 days to call the fire department. You'd call when you smelled the smoke and saw the flames. And Tim Walz decided not to do that. What's interesting is Tim Walz is nothing more than a Californian with a Minnesota zip code. That's the bottom line on this deal. This is probably the most liberal ticket the Democrats have put up, certainly in decades. So what the Democrats need here, first of all, I think it's a defensive pick. And by that, I mean, instead of going for someone who could have broadened the ticket a little bit ideologically on issues around the world, she decided to go with a hardcore liberal from the Midwest. And what that tells me politically is that it's a defensive pick. They know they are in massive trouble, maybe too much trouble in Pennsylvania. So it's a blue wall pick. She has to figure out a way to put together the old Democrat blue wall in the upper Midwest of Minnesota, of Michigan, of Wisconsin. I actually think this pick hurts her in Wisconsin, doesn't help her because Governor Waltz's policies. So to me, it's a very defensive pick. They're almost giving up on some states where the president's been leading, states like Georgia, states like Pennsylvania. Not that they won't be competitive, but President Trump is likely, more likely than not, to win there. Secondly, from my perspective as state party chairman, they have not. The Democrats have not. A pick like Tim Walz is not one that expands the appeal of the ticket. It's extremely ideological. So she picked an ideological liberal. She's gone back to the blue wall that she needs to put brick by brick together in the Midwest instead of trying to win some of the other big states where they're less likely to do. So this strikes me as a very, very defensive pick. Thirdly, frankly, this is what Kamala Harris and Tim Walz need to do is to get everybody in the country to forget the last 4 years. Kamala Harris isn't running against just one person. She's running against two. She's running against Donald Trump, of course, but she's also running against Joe Biden. If she allows this election to be about the real issues, what's happened in the last 4 years, answering the question, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? We see by the polling that over 70% of the people don't believe they are. They know that they're worse off than they were 4 years ago. So it's a defensive pick that doesn't work. And Kamala Harris and Tim Walz now have less than 100 days to convince the country that Kamala Harris had nothing to do with the injurious policies on inflation, on the border, on immigration generally, on violent crime, on all those issues. She needs people to forget. And my only comment would be, people are going to remember. There's a grocery store test, a reality test to the economic policies of whatever comes out of Joe Biden's mouth, whatever comes out of Kamala Harris's mouth, because when people hear all that and then they go to the grocery store and reality hits, this is going to be a much different discussion.
All righty. Thank you, Chairman Schimming. We will now enter our Q&A portion of today's press call. This will be about 5 minutes of Q&A time for attendees. If you are interested in asking any questions, you use the Q&A feature at the bottom of the screen. It should be next to the show captions. That could be my side of things from what I'm seeing. But there should be a Q&A feature at the bottom of the screen. Feel free to enter your questions there. We will give you all about a minute and a half to start posting. And then we will proceed to start firing away the questions. So, we'll now begin the Q&A. All righty, we have our first two questions. The first one is from CBS 58. Chairman Schimming, I'll direct this one to you. Former President Trump has publicly disavowed Project 2025. Before the Republican National Convention, Senator Vance said there are, quote, some good ideas in there, end quote. Does the GOP ticket need to be more clear about which Heritage Foundation ideas they support and which ones they don't?
Well, the president has already said that Project 2025 was not part of the platform, wasn't a part of what is, ideas and proposals for going forward. I mean, I sat at the Republican convention all week long. I didn't have one Republican, Trump supporter, delegate, alternate, anyone talk about Project 2025. Some folks in the media love it. The liberals want to push it because they have their own reasons. But nobody else is talking about Project 2025 within the Trump campaign or, within the Republican Party. So to me, that's just a made up issue. The Democrats need, frankly, if I'm the Democrats, I need people to try to pay attention to these, you know, things like Project 2025, because if people pay attention to the border, to inflation, to grocery prices, to interest rates, it's not going to work out well for the Democrats. And I would note by this, on every single one of those issues, immigration generally, the border, war, grocery store prices, violent crime, the Democrats are upside down on every single kitchen table issue facing families in Wisconsin. So whenever I hear things like that, that's the Democrats trying to push a line.
Awesome. Our next question is for you, Senator Johnson. This is from Scott Bauer of the Associated Press. Can you talk about how important the 3rd congressional district is for statewide candidates, given that Kamala Harris picked Eau Claire for her first stop with Tim Walz?
Let me first just tack on to what Chairman Schumer said about Agenda 25 being a distraction. Nobody's talking about it. We have think tanks on all sides of the political spectrum offering policy prescriptions. The fact the mainstream media is focusing on it just, again, proves the bias. In terms of District 3, it's a bellwether district and a bellwether state. And so obviously it's very important. I think what I found interesting in both my 2016, particularly my 2016 election, when Donald Trump's on the ballot, you know, his appeal to the working men and women, the agriculture interests, the folks out in the 3rd district, you know, certainly helped me, bolstered my vote getting in that area as well. So I think the fact that, you know, Derek Van Orden will be on the ballot with Donald Trump and J.D. Vance will actually help him in the 3rd district. And again, I also have to say, you know, J.D. Vance, yeah, I served with him for almost 2 years. It's just bizarre the way everybody's, you know, trying to say somebody who really is a American success story, you know, came up out of incredibly difficult circumstances, made himself a success, you know, has a loving wife and children, and has a nuclear family. They're calling that weird. Again, just speaks to the fact that, you know, Democrats are the outliers. They have a radical agenda, and unfortunately, it is supported by way too many people in the mainstream media.
Hey, Matt, can I weigh in on
that? Certainly, yes.
Yeah, I would just say, members of the press, take the area from Clark, we got Jackson County, that Senator Jackson is absolutely correct that President Trump drives voters regional. It's a classic Trump area, rural, small town. That's part of the reason I'm so focused at this point, especially after the Walz pick, because people really turn out, especially Trump, in those rural areas, in particular, Eau Claire and La Crosse. And then when you add in the impact of President Harris with her first consequential decision, picking a radical from Minnesota that they all know about in Western Wisconsin, we're going to win Wisconsin.
Thank you, Congressman Tiffany. And our last question comes to you, Chairman Schimming. Senator and Congressman, feel free to chime in and afterwards if you have any additional remarks or thoughts. The question is, Brian said that the Walz pick hurts Kamala's chances of winning in Wisconsin. Why isn't Walz the best pick for Wisconsin, specifically for voters from small and rural towns, which he has touted his ability to appeal to? Congressman, you touched on this a little bit. Chairman, Senator, any thoughts before we close?
Say this about Tim Walz. There's Tim Walz, the image, and there's Tim Walz, the record. And those are two very different things. I had somebody peddling to me yesterday, oh, he's a hunter, or he's a, he's this or that or the next thing, as though if that appeal was going to do it. It actually ends up when he gets shown for his record, not just to the people of his district or not just to the people of Minnesota. Now that he's in a national arena, his record is going to get a little bit more examination. And part of the issue, I think, will be is how does Tim Walz square what he says with what he's done and what his record is and what he agrees with Kamala Harris on and what he agrees with Joe Biden on. Now, I want to remind people here that the Trump campaign has been spending some time on Minnesota. It's kind of been looked at as a possible pickup state. And that gets to my theory about how this is a defensive pick I mean, they're worrying about carrying Minnesota instead of carrying Pennsylvania. So they picked Tim Walz allegedly to help them in Minnesota and presumably in Wisconsin as well. But when Tim Walz's record, I mean, these ads write themselves. When Tim Walz's record gets a little more examination, and frankly, he gets asked, which he doesn't get asked up till now, how much he agrees with Joe Biden, how much he agrees with Kamala Harris, that is going to be a way different discussion.
Senator Johnson, before we wrap.
Sure, I'd like to weigh in a little bit. Again, we'll talk about his radical left agenda and ideology in generality, but you take a look at the specifics. And for example, during COVID, I mean, he was one of the most militant governors, assuming taking all this power and asking Minnesotans to snitch on each other. You see a few people playing basketball without a mask on. You'll call those people in so law enforcement can swoop in. The fact that he defends literally the mutilation of children. I know this is a very uncomfortable subject, but it's what he defends. I mean, he's all for abortion up to and beyond the moment of birth. You know, check out his record. This is the extreme position on abortion. That's what Democrats are for. I know it's what the mainstream media refuses to acknowledge, but he is part of the extreme end in terms of the abortion issue. Unrestricted abortion up to the moment of birth, and allow, you know, children born alive to just expire. And this is embarrassing to talk about, but you have to. The fact that his nickname is Tampon Tim indicates the fact that he pushed and signed a bill to force women's feminine hygiene products be installed in boys' bathrooms. Again, that is not where mainstream Wisconsinites are. That is just radical craziness. And he is part of the radical crazy left, as is Vice President Harris. So I don't think that appeals to Wisconsinites if the mainstream media actually reports on his positions instead of focusing on something that nobody's talking about at all, Agenda 2025.
Thank you, Senator Johnson. And thank you again, Chairman Schimming and Congressman Tiffany, for joining us on today's call. And thank you to members of the press who have joined us as well. We appreciate your participation in this morning's press call and your questions. If you have any additional questions, feel free to reach out to me at mfisher@wisgop.org. You should have my email from the initial media advisory, and we'll be sure to help accommodate or find out those answers for you. With that, thank you again for joining us, and have a great rest of your day, everyone. Take care.
Recording stopped.